All righty. Well, good evening. Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here. Yeah, the first time I preached in English church was either late 2017 or early 2018. So it was a while back. So I was still a junior in college, I believe. But amen. We're past those days, and it's been a blessing to be here. And appreciate the opportunity to preach. You know, pastor asked me to preach, and I asked him, "Are you sure?" You know, it's always a blessing. It's always a blessing to be with you guys, and thank pastor for the opportunity, and obviously thank God for the opportunity to preach. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to preach the word of God and to open His word, especially with folk that are like-minded, and that's a big blessing. So, and I just hope I'm an encouragement to you guys tonight, and a blessing. So if you could just please open your Bibles with me, please, tonight to the book of Mark, chapter 10. If you could please stand to your feet in reverence to the word of God tonight. Mark, chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 17 through 22. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Mark, chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. If you're there, say amen. All right. So I can know when to start reading. You just follow me there with your eyes, and then we'll come together and read verse 22 all together. Here we go. Mark 10:17-22. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.'" Everyone read with me verse 22. "And he said at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for this church and the opportunity to preach. I just pray, Lord, that you just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord, and help me just to be an encouragement, Lord, to the church tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here we have Jesus speaking to his disciples. Here we have Jesus with his disciples. Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. He had, you know, started his ministry, making his debut at being baptized there with John the Baptist, and then starting recruiting all his disciples, and then now we see Jesus getting traction in his ministry. He is starting to preach to Gentiles and Jews alike. And as he's preaching, he's getting traction and he's getting to be known, and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's healing and mending those in that region of the world. And people start to draw closer to Jesus. They start to hear this man, Jesus, out of Nazareth. And in this chapter, Jesus is speaking to the people and teaching. In the first part of the chapter, chapter 10, he's actually speaking about divorce. And he speaks on divorce to the Pharisees. And then again, he explains it to the disciples later on. And then we come to one of the sweetest verses in the Bible, in verses 14 and 15. It says, "But when Jesus saw, it was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.'" It's a blessing that Jesus loves little children, amen? And we see here the love of Jesus, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But we see the love of Jesus towards little children, and how important kids are to Jesus Christ. And not only we see this, but the faith as a child that we should have as Christians, which is really simple when you think about it. Salvation is simple. Even a little child can understand it. And I think this is another truth that Jesus is trying to portray here in verse 15. Now, as we get into the text tonight, we see the interaction between the rich young ruler and Jesus. His search for eternal life, we see that in verse 17, because and it says, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Okay, so we see here the rich young ruler, the presentation, he comes up to him. He's asking, "What can I do to have eternal life?" And then we see that this rich young ruler, he was a pretty good guy. He lived by the book. We see this in verse 17 through verses 19 through 20. We see here that Jesus tells him about the commandments. He goes through them. "You shall bear no false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do not defraud. Do not kill." And he goes through this list. And we see at the end of that, after that, the rich young ruler says, "I've kept all this since my youth. I've done all the right things." And then we see where the conflict is, where the strife is in verses 21 and 22. In verses 21, Jesus presents to him, tells him, "Okay, you've done all these good things throughout your life. You've upheld the commandments. You've been in church. You've listened to your mom and dad. You haven't killed anybody. That's great. But let me present to you this one thing. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And what does verse 22 says? It says, "And he was sad at that saying and went away and grieved, for he had great possessions." And the first thing I want to look at in this story, verses 17 through 22, the first main point I want to talk to, I have 2 points tonight. First point is this one. It's a great thing that Jesus loves us. Amen. In verses 21, it says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, looking at him, seeing the whole situation that was going down, Jesus, beholding him," what did it say? "Loved him." Jesus loved him. And, you know, we've heard the song, "Jesus loves the little children," right? "Jesus loves me, this I know." We know the great Bible verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." In 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And then we go on and see in Romans 8:37, "Nay, all these things are more important, or we are more than conquerors than him through him that loved us." Ladies and gentlemen, young people, I think it's very important to realize and remember periodically or even daily how much Jesus loves us. And every day and every one of us should be humbled at the thought that God loves us so much. Starting from Genesis 1:1, we can see the love of God. We can see the love of God as he created man in his image. And man was different from all the creations. We see in Genesis 1 that God calls man, the creation of man, very good. You know, we see that God created the suns, the moons, the stars, the plants, the animals, the seas, the air, and he calls it good. But when he gets to man, he calls it very good. And as humans, you know what? Let me remind you this. We are undeserving of God's love. We are undeserving of his love. As we think of God's love toward us, it should bring us to the point of wonder. Why us? Why me? Why should God love me? We know that by the word of God, we can literally not measure what the love of God gives to us. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 3 tonight, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Save your place there in Mark. We'll be coming back to that text. But if you could go with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. We're going to read a couple verses here about the love of God. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. The Bible says here, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in" what? Love. "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." The love of Jesus is so wonderful. You guys heard of the song, "The Love of Jesus is So Wonderful," right? It's higher than the mountains. It's deeper than the oceans. It's wider than the universe. Oh, oh, wonderful love. To think that the love we have here on earth towards our families, our children, and our parents does not even come into comparison to the love that God has for us. God loves us enough. God loved us enough to send His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins. Our sins that sent Him to the cross. Our sins that condemned us to hell. But through His grace and mercy and His love, now we have the opportunity to go to heaven. Let me tell you about the love of God. He loves your kids more than you do. Christ voluntarily went to the cross to die for us. I think sometimes we're pretty selfish. We don't want to sacrifice anything for especially our life for someone else. Christ loved us enough to sacrifice His own. So the question tonight, and we know this thought, we know this truth. The question tonight is not, does God love me? We know God loves us. We know Jesus loves us. The question tonight and the point of the message is, can I love God just a little more tonight? Can I love God just a little more? Yes, my response is yes. And everyone, I think, in here could love God just a little more. When we compare the love that we have to God to the love other men have for their gods, their pagan gods, and their lies that they live up to, the reality is that there are many examples of cultures and men in the Bible who loved their false gods to an extreme measure. These men were given to the false religion of paganism and sacrifice. And these are just a few examples of pagan men who loved and feared their false gods. And I was 14 years old when I went to Mexico with my dad and my sister for a wedding, my uncle's wedding. And we were down there. We had the wedding in Guerrero, and we traveled, you know, the few miles up north to Mexico City. And we were able to spend a couple nights in Mexico City and go into the city. We had never experienced a big city. It's millions and millions of people. But the friends that we had stayed with that night had asked us if we wanted to go to Teotihuacan. So say that five times. Teotihuacan is a place where the Aztecs, there are some Aztec ruins. And we were like, yeah, let's go. We went to go see the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon. Literally, I mean, these pyramids were constructed before the ones in Egypt. They're old. They're ancient. And I remember going into the Aztec city and walking down these huge roads. And you could see the tiny pyramids, maybe 40, 50 feet high all around the area. And you could go into the museums. You could see the mummies and the bones and the artifacts and the different things that they used back in those days. And it was really interesting. But then after we went to the museum, we got to walk outside in the ancient ruined city, and we got to climb up to the top of these pyramids, the Sun Pyramid and the Moon Pyramid. I didn't know much of the history at the time. I didn't know many details. And it's 180 steps, 180 feet all the way to the top. And we get to the tippy top, and it's a warm day. It's kind of hazy, but it's a beautiful landscape. You could see Mexico City in the distance. And as we're up there, we're taking pictures and everything. And we walk down. Later on, I realize, church, that the Aztecs, a beautiful place, a beautiful history in Mexico, but with a dark history. A part of it has a very, very dark history. I didn't know, but the Aztecs would sacrifice up to 20,000 people a year to their gods, to their false gods. They would sacrifice, when they would go to war, they wouldn't shoot to kill. They would shoot to wound, to gather up all their prisoners of war and take them to their giant pyramid. In their pyramid, they would sacrifice prisoners of war to honor the god of war. But also, they would sacrifice their own children in the name of their gods. While up there on the mountains, on that pyramid, I realized that the Aztecs would take literally their children and cut their heart out and roll their bodies down the 180 feet of the pyramid. Dark, 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 dark things they would do. Why? Why, Brother Danny? Why would they kill their own children? They said that the tears of their children would bring the rain for their crops. They had a love and devotion and fear for their God. That is something. The Incas in South America would sacrifice their children, prepping them throughout a whole year, changing their diet and the way they dress and fixing their hair. And within a year in advance, eventually the time would come, they would take their children up to the Andes Mountains and leave them on top of a volcano, of a snowy volcano, for them to freeze to death for their gods. Horrible things they used to do and because they loved their gods. But let me tell you this, church. We don't have to go into the culture of Hispanics or Asians or African people to see that children sacrifice their people sacrifice their children for their false gods. Look with me to 2 Kings chapter 3, please. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 27. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27 tonight. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27 says here, "Then he took his eldest son that would have reigned in his stead and offered him for a what? Burnt offering upon the wall. And there was a great indignation against Israel, and they parted from him and returned to their own land." We see here the king of Moab sacrificed his own son after losing a battle. In chapter 16, verse 3, if you would go with me there right quick. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3 says, "But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his sons to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from the children of Israel." See, here we have the king Ahaz offered his own children to pagan gods. And another example we have in 2 Chronicles 33:6, Manasseh sacrificed his children during burning them to pagan gods. It's sad to say, church, that we have these examples of people who love their God so much they would give their own children. But these people love false gods. They love gods that never loved them back. They loved and sacrificed to gods for salvation. And they loved false gods and were willing to pay a great price for them. But glory to God, church, that we don't have to sacrifice our children for our salvation. Thank God that he sacrificed his son for us. And not only that, but God is not dead. He is a God that is surely alive. Our God is a true God. Our God is not out of our reach. He is open. He is open for us to come boldly to the throne of grace through prayer. Our God is one that has given us the instruction book of life, his holy word. And to top it off, God loves us. He has an unconditional love. He loves us in our dark times. He loves us in our good times. He loves us even when we don't believe in him. God loves the atheist. God loves the homosexual. He loves the lowlifes. He loves the rich and he loves the poor. He loves the Republican, the white, the black, and the Democrat, and the white, and the black, and the brown. God loves the good, the bad, and the ugly. He loves the skinny and he loves the fat. He loves us all. It's a great thing that God so loved the world. Glory to God, church, that he so loved, and he loves me. He loves more than any mother loves her children. He loves us so much that he will not force us to do his will. He won't. He gives us the opportunity to be saved. It is a gift that we can receive or reject. And not only do we receive the gift, we have the free will to choose how we live our life once we receive the gift. And glory, I'm glad to see every one of you here tonight. You have that ability. God loves you so much, he gives you this free will. He loves us as his creation. And for some of us, and hopefully all of you guys in here, he loves you as his children. Church, friends, as we see how much God loves us, it should constrain us to love him a little more. I don't know where each of you are in your spiritual life, the level of spiritual maturity, the knowledge of the Bible, or maybe even your time in church. But I can assure you tonight that everyone in this room can love God just a little more. How can we love God a little more? First off, we have to understand that we can never settle for our love for God. If we're honest with each other, everyone can love God a little bit more in their lives. I would go to the extreme point of saying this. There's probably some people in here that love other things more than God. Don't believe me? Here we go. Maybe some examples. Maybe you love food more than God. What are you talking about? I love God more than food. Someone asks you to fast one day, you're dying. You think it's impossible. Some people love sports more than God. Some people love their money more than God. Some people love sleep more than God. Instead of getting up in the morning and having some quality time with God, they rather hit the snooze button and get an extra 5 minutes. Some people love work more than God. They choose to go to work instead of being in church. How many people have missed out on the blessing of the Word of God because they prefer to go to church, prefer to go to work instead of going to church? Some people love their family more than God. And some are so shallow that they prefer a piece of technology over their God. People put more emphasis on their pastimes. I'll tell you what, Christianity would be a little different. And I think every independent Baptist church, if there was more people in the Bible than in Instagram, or more people passing time on their knees than on Facebook. Let me tell you, there are some people don't want to admit it, but people love other things more than God. You can tell it where they spend their time, where they spend their treasure, where they spend their interests. People just love other things more than God. I remember we were door knocking in Moments a couple years ago, and I knocked on a door, and I was knocking with my wife and another member from the church. And I remember this young man came to the door. He stepped out on the porch, and I don't remember his name anymore, but I started witnessing to him. And I told him, hey, you know what? I invite you to my church. I think you should come. I think you'd really like it. And he said, oh, I grew up in church. I'm like, that's great. That's great. Let me ask you something before I leave today. If you were to die today, where would you go? Where would your soul go? Heaven or hell? And he said, hell. What? So I started going through the gospel with him, and he stopped me about halfway through, and he said, look, Danny, this isn't for me. I can't get saved. I was like, why not? Jesus can save everyone. He says, I'm a homosexual. He flat out said it to me. I had no idea. I had no tendencies. Didn't look it. He looked just like a normal guy in the street. And I was like, well, just because you're a homosexual doesn't mean Jesus can't love you, can't save you. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He still wants you to go to heaven the day you die. He says, no, not me. This isn't for me. And abruptly, he went inside his door, shut it. And I was left out on the porch all by myself. He preferred to love his sin more than his Savior. And we can see this example through example through example of people who love their sin, love their lust, love their pastime, love their technology, love their sleep more than God. Some are children of God that desire to put other things above the love of above loving God. Sometimes we think that we love God enough. I think I'm good, Brother Danny. I'm good. Sometimes we think, I've done enough. I served him when I was younger. I served him when I was single. I'm good now. Sometimes we think our temporal and earthly vision and effort will suffice God's standard. But when we read the Bible, it always shows us the truth. If you could go back with me there to Mark chapter 10, where we started off tonight. Mark chapter 10. We're just going to revisit a couple of those verses just to solidify this thought, okay? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. We're going to revisit these right quick. It says, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, not honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." See, we see here, we see a young man, we see a guy from the youth group, a young man that had learned to serve, a young man that knew the Bible, a young man that had probably, if he lived in our day, would have gone out soul winning. And Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest." We all need to love God just a little more. And Luke 14:26 says, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, hate," he says, "yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Our love and devotion to God should surpass, yes, even the love we have for our own families. Brother Danny, that seems impossible. Could the love you have for God really be compared to hate with the love you have for your family? Let me tell you this. Hey, young person, truth is, when you fall in love with God, when you fall in love with His Word, when you fall in love with His presence, our love for God will compel us to do whatever it takes to follow Him. Remember Abraham and Isaac? God told Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to make them like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky." Then he tells him, "Go kill your only son." What does Abraham do? Takes him up to the mountain. And just as about he's about to put a death to his son, God saves him and gives him that sheep. So I ask that question again tonight. Can you love God a little more? Can we decide today to submit ourselves completely and wholly to love God more and more every day? Yeah, Brother Danny, I want to decide that tonight. I want to love God just a little more. Good. Now the question is how? How? How can I love God just a little more? Three things right quick and we'll be done. How can you love God a little more? Well, you can't love God more if you don't know Him more. You got to know God a little more to love Him more. Know God a little more, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I got married this summer. It's going to be four years. And I'll tell you what, as I get to know my wife more and more, and we get to spend more time together, it seems that our love seems to grow. Amen. That's a good thing. And I'll tell you what, as your relationship with Jesus Christ and God and you're in His Word and you're on your knees and you're in church and you're soul winning and you're telling people about Jesus, wow, the more you get to know God, how great and wonderful and powerful and merciful and graceful and faithful and just He is, woo! It gives you a love for Him. That's something good. How can I love God, Brother Danny? How can I love God a little more? You get to know Him a little better. You get to know Him a little better. And tell you what, we're never going to finish knowing God. Know Him a little more. Knowing God a little more will lead us to love Him a little more. Number two, when we love God a little more, we do more for Him. Oh, come on. Yeah. When you love Him a little more, you do more for Him. What do you mean, Brother Danny? Where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. When you love God a little more, you're willing to do a little bit more for Him. You're willing to give a little more to Him. Sacrifice just a little more. Love Him a little more. You know, it is a heart of generosity is a staple, should be a staple for the Christian. To always look for opportunities to give more. To be more of a blessing, to expand the Word of God and the reach of our missions and to expand the needs of the church and supply them as a church, man, that's a great blessing. As we love, as we get to know God a little more, it will lead us to love Him a little more. And then we, as we love God a little more, we do more for Him and we give a little more. But not only that, when we love God a little more, we do more for Him. More giving, more service. Galatians 5:13, I'll read it for you quick. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Man, it's a great thing when I see a brand new Christian starting to serve God. It is great. We have a few Spanish families in the church right now that are new. They're starting, man, they're soaking it up. And they're looking for opportunities to serve. They're reading their Bible and they're coming to me and telling me, Pastor, did you know that the Bible said this about Jesus? Did you know that the Bible says this about the family? And what about this? And what is doctrine? What is a conviction? And they're coming and they're asking and they're learning. And the more they fall in love with God, eventually they want to they tell me, hey, Brother Danny, where can I serve? Where can I serve? And I challenge everyone in this room, find a place to serve. You want to show that you love God just a little bit more? Find a place to serve. Find a place to serve. Serving God is one of the best things you can do. When we love God a little more, we do more for Him. More giving, more service, more witnessing. More witnessing. Share the gospel. Share God's love. This is natural. It should be natural for the Christian who loves God. Carry some tracts with you. Carry it in your visor. Put them in your pocket. Put them on your dash. Have them available. Look for opportunities to witness. Why, Brother Danny? Because if you want to decide to love God a little more, I'll tell you what gets God hyped up. I'll tell you what God likes when we share His love with others. When you take the Bible and you take them to the Romans Road and you tell them, hey, look here, John, look here, Eddie, look here, whoever it may be. Man, look what Jesus did. Let me ask you something. If you die today, you are 100% sure to go to heaven. And when they tell you no, when they tell you, I don't know, when they tell you, well, I'm a good person. Well, I grew up Catholic. Well, I grew up Baptist. I grew up Methodist, whatever they say. And you start to go through the gospel with them and then you see that light click. Jesus. And then when you go to Romans 10:9 and you tell them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you go through the gospel and you ask them if you want to pray, if they want to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Man, it is one of the best things a Christian can do. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to. It's important. It's important. It shows that we love God just a little more. Knowing God a little more will lead us to love Him more. When we love God a little more, we do more for Him. More giving, more service, more witnessing. And then lastly, when we do more for Him, He blesses us more. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. See, when we get to know God a little more and we get on our knees and we get in our Bible and we get in under preaching and we start singing songs and hymns and we get to know God a little more, we start to fall in love with God a little more. And then when we fall in love with God a little more, we want to do more for Him. And then when we do more for Him, He starts blessing us. And guess what happens after He starts blessing us? We start to love Him a little more. And after we love Him a little more, we want to do more for Him. And then we start serving people and we start serving the ministry and we start giving more and we start witnessing more. And after we do that, God blesses a little more. And after He blesses a little more, then what happens? We fall a little more in love with Him. And the circle keeps on going. A few questions to finish tonight. Firstly, do you know God? Can you say you love God as your personal Savior? If you died today, are you 100% sure to go to heaven? Not a 99, not a 75, not a 50, 100. Do you know God? Another question I want to ask tonight as we finish up. Maybe you're in here and you love something more than God. You love your phone, your friends, your family, your pastime, your work, your money, your end goal? Do you love that more than God? And the point tonight, are you willing to love God just a little more? We're in Mark 10, and we see there in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. May I tell you what, if Jesus comes back today or tonight or tomorrow morning, first thing, and we get to heaven, we see Jesus Christ up on the throne, is a thought going to come to mind, man, I should have loved him a little more? Did I settle for my love? Did I settle for my service, for my witnessing, or my giving? Could I have loved Jesus Christ just a little more? The rich young ruler could have loved God a little more, but the Bible says he went away grieved. If you're that person tonight, get it right. There is still time. There is still time to love God just a little more. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we need you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, because your word is perfect and holy and pure and true. Lord, and as we come tonight, we're going to have just a few minutes of invitation time. If you want to make a decision, if you want to make that decision to love God just a little more, to fall in love with him just a little more, I invite you to come to the altar tonight and speak with God. Love God just a little more. You know what, Brother Danny, you're right. You're right. I've put other things in front of God. I've put pastimes and friends and material things that should take the place of God. I need to get that right. I need to get that right. Young person, college age, teenager, single person, you have the opportunity to serve God with all your might, your time. You have the energy. But I tell you what, you're loving other things instead of God. Could you love God a little more today? Could you make that decision? Or maybe there's someone here who says, I'm not saved, Brother Danny. I can't. I don't know where to begin. I need to get saved tonight. Someone here, quickly, maybe. Maybe someone who's been struggling with it. Say, Brother Danny, I need that help. Raise a hand.